Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back Dr. Richard Presser for a continuing discussion of 2012, the countdown, and what we might expect. We're getting down to the last quarter, or near the last quarter, and very pleased to have Richard back on so we might update everybody with what's new and how we've done so far with what we thought was going to happen. Welcome, Richard. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Susan. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to connect with you once more and also with your listeners.
I was wondering if you had seen a YouTube video called The Secret of Secrets, Carbon 666. Have you seen that?
I have not.
You might want to take a look at it. It's very interesting. It talks about dimensional shifts, but it's got some very, very good graphics in it. And it talks about carbon 666, which is 6 electrons, 6 protons, and 6 neutrons, which evidently is what we're mostly made of, and how this energy coming in is shifting us to a different carbon that will put protons out and cause a halo effect. It's a very interesting, interesting scientific take on what might be happening in the next few months. You might want to take a look at it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's hard to know exactly all of the levels on which these changes are going to come forth. I mean, certainly one of the things that we understand is effectively the spacing of particles will shift. You know, we are in a very dense consciousness here, and so the spacing of all particles, and by that I mean down to the atomic and the electron kind of level of spacing. And so who knows? I mean, it could easily be so that the nature of the carbon that makes up our bodies, that's its isotope, if you like, might change. It's possible.
And one of the things that people, I think, have gotten wrong about the shift is that they believe it's for one type of, you know, religion or one type of being. But actually, it's probably not just planetary. It's probably affecting the whole solar system, and it may actually be affecting more than the solar system. It might be affecting the whole galaxy. So,
the information that we've been given, Susan, and we've had this for quite some time and we've shared it, is really to participate in the ascension process. This relates to humanity. They really simply need to claim their connection with their creator, that the particles that make up their souls are, you might say, particles that are on loan from all there is in the center of the cosmos. And if they simply claim that relationship and acknowledge it, then they will participate in all of this. And you might say pretty much all of the religions on some level acknowledge that, regardless of the views we might have of, you know, the particular perspectives that particular religions might have. But the common thread that they pretty much all have is that they acknowledge that. And so in my view, anyone that participates in those religions, but not just them, anyone that acknowledges all there is or prime creator or source as their ultimate creator, then they're, you know, in line to participate in all of this, and the rest will get taken care of in some way or another. And it's our understanding that, of course, the energies that are coming in are not just impacting this planet, but indeed, as you say, the whole solar system. But more than that, the understanding that we have is that the ascension process that is being triggered here really will impact all of the cosmos. One of the ways to look at creation is top down or bottom up. You can look either way. And if you look at it bottom up, then what's been given to us has been that, in a sense, all of consciousness rests on its base. It's kind of like a vase where all consciousness rests on that base, and that base is the consciousness on Earth. And so if you lift that consciousness up, then you lift up the whole vase. And in a sense, to me, that's very much in parallel with the notion that has been shared with us, that not only is this ascension process occurring, but it is timed to be at the point where it is the beginning of this in-breath, the in-breath of this cycle of Brahma. And also it is the end of the cycle of the dark, which has been in operation for much longer than any particular cycle of Brahma. So there are many threads at work here. It's not just about this planet. And that is very consistent with the kind of work that Carolyn Evers and I have been involved in for the last 3 or 4 years.
And I wonder, have you heard from your sources if it is also affecting the higher dimensions? Is it kind of like there's a cycling up of all, everything? You know,
well,
we're cycling up, but they're cycling up as well.
That's what I was saying in my words about this vase of consciousness.
Uh-huh.
So if you lift up the base, as in a consciousness on Earth, then you lift up all expressions of consciousness in all dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a cosmic thing, actually, which is going on.
Right.
As we understand it.
But some people might think a cosmic thing was just the universe rather than all of the dimensional, the multidimensional universe.
That's a fair distinction. Okay. Yes, I anticipate it encompasses all dimensions.
Yeah. So one of the things, have you been told very much about the relationship of the third and the fourth dimension that currently exists and how that might change?
Well, to be honest, it's not overly our focus. I mean, our understanding is that the fourth dimension essentially is the astral, if you will. And
right.
That's been an area where a lot of souls that have not kind of completed their transition, if you will, have got trapped. And
mm-hmm.
so, again, there was a point in our work, assuming it at face value, where we undertook a great deal of clearing of the astral is really in preparation for this transition. But really, the transition is one going from the third to the fifth, or the angelic dimension is another name for it. And the thing that's interesting about the level we will reach is that it will go beyond the level we were at in Atlantis and be the highest dimension in which beings have held a physical body, period. So it's been, certainly from our understanding, creating a little jealousy and consternation amongst many who think that humanity doesn't deserve this. But
that's interesting. So when this shift happens, would it be expected for us to start seeing angelic beings where we hadn't necessarily seen them before or become aware of them?
I think the nature of our consciousness will transform, Susan, with this shift. As I think I've mentioned on your show previously, our understanding is that prior to the fall in Atlantis, the human physical form carried over 2,000 strands of DNA. That's hard to imagine when we have two today, and yet something like 98% of our DNA in a physical sense is, as you would know, these days called junk or mitochondrial DNA. And whilst some explanations have been given for it, it doesn't really make a lot of sense as to why it's there. And certainly what's makes sense to me is that that other DNA that's there, the unused DNA, if you will, represents the physical aspects of those other DNA strands, because all of that DNA was not in the physical. And
right.
So it's hard to imagine what we will be like as spiritual beings, if you will, when all of that is activated. It's impossible to comprehend it from this dimension. And so part of what will happen, again, I'm simply expressing our understanding. I'm not giving any guarantees to anyone here.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that a lot of the abilities that have been shorn from us in this dimension will be reinstated. So, for example, Most beings in the cosmos have a continuous connection with their creator, can communicate freely in that mode all of the time. They have an open communication with their monad, which is the totality of their soul as it was created, and through that connection, access to all of their past and, you might say, future lives that have been expressed. And we will be once more existing in the now, where past, present, and future are all one, rather than this linear consciousness that, from what I understand, is unique to this crazy planet of ours. And so it's hard to imagine what that will be like. And of course, the ability will open up to readily communicate with other beings, although there are those currently in this consciousness who do that readily today, communicate with and see other kinds of beings and so on.
Yeah, when this communication opens up, the idea of free will kind of goes out the window, because you're guided what would be the best course of action or the best whatever. So although you could choose something not the best, if you know that something is going to be better for you, that, and you know the ramifications of it, and you understand the future result of choosing one versus the other, that's where the idea of free will goes away, because free will only really exists when you don't have that communication in working. I mean,
I'm not
then
sure
you
I
have
agree
to kind
with
of
it.
Guess what to do. Well, I mean, it's kind of a, I mean, you still can choose differently.
Exactly.
But it's that
you don't want to.
Future
is only possibility and probability. It's not fact.
Right.
And secondly,
right.
You can, just as you can in, for example, what's the word I'm looking for? If you go back to past life experiences, whether it be through hypnotherapy or some other mechanism to reconnect with past lives and change those experiences and outcomes, you change the present.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
people, you know, will be able to do that readily in the now, and indeed that's what other beings can do. And when you look at the future, you can try on the various possibilities and see how they unfold. And, you know, some of those choices might not be so obvious in terms of, I mean, clearly there'll be options one might look at that aren't very attractive, and you're unlikely to walk down those paths. And we, in this consciousness, are certainly more likely to walk some of those. But, you know, when you can try them on, there might still be choices that are not so clear. And so it still is allowing free will in those choices to both go back and change the past and choose a future that you prefer.
Mm-hmm.
So I see free
will.
Well,
in that way, yes. But if you know that a certain course of action is going to, you know, end up in a... Say you have a choice. Your friend calls and wants you to go out, okay? And it's raining outside and the weather's not very good. And you have the choice to go or not to go. But you see, if you go, you're going to be involved in a car accident and then have chronic back pain the rest of your life. Or if you don't go, you know, you have a different outcome. That's what I'm saying. Because you have the ability to receive communication from a higher level, you won't go down so many paths that aren't optimal.
I would agree.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. It's not that you don't have free will, of course. I mean, you can say, no, I'm going to go, even though I know I have a great probability of having this injury. But right now, we don't have that. Well, some of us do. I mean, some of us have some intuitive information that sometimes we listen to and sometimes we don't. But I believe that the free will aspect of things will be a lot narrower. You know, it won't be so... You won't have such free will, because you'll have more information.
Mm.
So
it's kind of interesting how all this is unfolding. I mean, you know, we're getting down to pretty close to only 90 days or so to run until the December solstice. And in many ways, people would say there's really very little evidence of anything changing. And that's certainly true in many ways. And yet, if you look at some of the things that are emerging, you know, we've just celebrated a year of, you know, Occupy Wall Street. We have things like the Thrive movement and all that that represents. And also we have things like the emergence of the technology coming forth from Meron Keshe. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, Susan, but, you know, these things are truly transformative. And part of what we've been given to understand in recent times is that you may or may not be aware that Iran captured and landed unharmed a U.S. spy drone. I think it was about December last year, which created much consternation in this country. It does appear, firstly, that that was the kind of latest drone with all sorts of clever encrypted communications that they never thought anyone would break. And the Iranians managed to capture this thing unharmed and simply land it. And so they had this toy, as it got referred to. And that was done using this incredible technology from Meron Keshe. The possibilities of that technology simply transform the nature of how a country might defend itself and what it can do technologically speaking. And if what he says is accurate, then what we may well see if this attack on Iran goes ahead, and that's certainly looking pretty likely, I would say, if you track the evidence. I think it will be triggered by Israel, but very strongly supported by the US and Britain. You might be aware there's currently war game exercises occurring in the Straits of Hormuz with something like 25 countries participating. Seems to me there's no accident that all of that war machine is present. That technology that Iran now has will simply destroy the U.S. military machine, not just U.S., but the whole Western military machine, including Israel. It sounds pretty extraordinary, but Keshe has gone out and publicly said, if they attack Iran, my friends, this is what's going to happen to you. He's been very open about it.
And, so what are the details of that?
It's very interesting. Keshe has brought forth a completely different understanding of how matter is created, how it is expressed. In simple terms, what he says is that matter, if you will, the background setup of things is due to the presence of magnetic fields. And these magnetic fields tend to form particular patterns. And so if you look at a neutron, for example, as the basic building block of things, that neutron contains three separate energy fields, if you like. One is related to the matter magnetic fields. A second is related to the dark matter magnetic fields. He's given it another name recently, transition, I think. And the third is antimatter magnetic fields, which he now calls principal magnetic fields. And these three are all present at the same time within something like the neutron, and indeed in all particles, and on any scale. And in actual fact, the matter magnetic fields are actually the weakest of those three, and the antimatter magnetic fields are the strongest. And so when you begin to understand this, it transforms our understanding of things. And what he also says is that gravitation is simply the result of magnetic fields. The understanding of gravitation has been completely misunderstood. And the thing about Keshe is he's a nuclear engineer. He's not just some theoretician. And so what he's been doing has been building this technology for tens of years to demonstrate these theories. And it's not only impacting. So, for example, his theories then tell us that Whilst Einstein would tell us that the speed of light is the fastest anything can move, his work will tell you that actually the speed of light is the slowest expression of such things, that indeed the equivalent of light in relation to dark matter and antimatter is much, much faster. And so he's built machines that can simply hover free of gravity, lift very large weights. He is now manufacturing energy, free energy generators. He has them for sale off his website. I have a contact who has ordered one. He hasn't yet received it. This guy's in Uruguay, so it's kind of interesting. And so it goes on. And this, he says, you know, really, the time of warmongering and the time of rocket propulsion is past. You know, it's passé. Nothing in, if you look at the way the universe works, it doesn't have rocket propulsion to make things work. And essentially what he's shown is by working with these magnetic fields and creating sympathetic fields, you can actually open these fields up and get incredible energy outcomes. You can produce what is, you know, what someone might call free energy. You can create powerful gravitational and magnetic fields so that these things can interact. A vehicle can travel at extremely high speeds relative to what we're familiar with. He talks about Mach 40 or 50, and these things are completely invisible to current radar. So there's an enormous amount of stuff here. And
are you familiar with Paul Lafayette's anti-gravity propulsion book?
I'm not.
Yeah, I think he's talking about the same thing. Yeah, Paul. I interviewed Paul on the radio show. He's a physicist that is got a large amount of information about the supergravity that's coming in from the center of the galaxy. So he's actually studying that, which is the, I guess it's the thing fueling the ascension, if you wanted to say energetically that something was, you know, doing it. And he's got a book on anti-gravity propulsion, which I think is similar to what Keshe came up with.
Well, it's interesting because what Keshe would say is there's no such thing as anti-gravity. What he would say is that you can set up a gravitational field around a vehicle which will balance, indeed neutralize, the impact of the Earth's magnetic field or indeed any other magnetic field.
Right. So, and that's exactly what Paul's diagrams show.
Okay.
In other words, it keeps a vehicle moving because it changes that field. Yeah, so you're right. So, it's not really anti-gravity. It's just but that's what they call it. You know.
Okay. So the interesting thing for me, part about what Keshe is about, is that, you know, what we are hearing, Susan, is that before real positive changes come forth, the cabal's teeth need to be pulled. And
right, and that means oil.
in a sense, they will pull their own teeth. And if you look at what of this, you know, pending attack on Iran, which certainly is looking pretty likely, then I see that as being the vehicle that will exactly do what we have been told. So it's quite fascinating. As always, things don't unfold as we expect them to, but this is certainly looking pretty interesting.
Yeah. Do you believe there's any danger from, you know, standard nuclear weapons right now? Or do you think we're pretty much out of that danger?
It's my understanding that after the Second World War, the edict went out that there would be no nuclear weapons exploded on the planet. And there's certainly plenty of stories around. Yes, I know there have been test weapons fired in that time frame, but in terms of use in war, there are plenty of stories around of, for example, Minuteman silos being disarmed as a result of UFO visits, situations where missiles were fired and the thing you know, something turned up, disarmed the missile and made it useless. There are plenty of stories like that around. You know, we've had nuclear weapons in the hands of so many for quite a deal of time now that it's
if one was going to go off, it should have gone off by now. Yeah, that's
exactly.
True. Yeah, that's my understanding too. That I mean, although dirty bombs might not be able to be prevented, the standard nukes are probably all under control from maybe off-planet monitoring and you know, the ability to screw up the electronics, if nothing else. So that's good. I mean, that's something that is one less thing to worry about. So, to speak.
If what I just spoke about with Kesha's technology unfolds in relation to Iran, then what we'll see is the basically dismembering of all of the weaponry of the West.
So it'll not function or dissolve.
It'll not function. I mean, I suspect all the electronics will get fried in, for example, all of the warships and so on.
So why is it that our military doesn't realize that this can happen?
I think they're too arrogant.
My goodness, that's a bad strategy.
If you don't have a counter to it,
that's a problem.
It is.
A lot of people could die.
I think they probably will, Susan.
Yeah. I spent 13 years in the Air Force, so I know a little bit about what our military can do, having seen it firsthand. Mm. Well, somebody ought to tell them. Maybe they can listen to the radio show and go on and look at his website. You know, come on.
They've been told, and Kesha's made
offers to
the U.S. He's actually had two events in Belgium where he invited all governments and their representatives to attend. And the U.S., with the one in April this year, basically declared him, because he was working with Iran, declared him, persona non grata, if you will.
Yeah, all right.
And secondly, it's some years ago, he offered his technology to NASA and to Boeing. And basically they looked at his technology and said, given what we'd have to write off to go with what you're proposing here, the answer is no. Mm-hmm. In other words, it was a commercial decision.
Right.
It's very interesting stuff. I encourage you to go and have a look. KeshFoundation.org is one. KeshSpace.com is another of his websites.
And how do you spell Kesh?
K-E-S-H-E.
Okay. Kind of like it sounds, except with a silent E.
That's it.
One of the things I've noticed in the last, I don't know, 2 months or so is spinning sensations. They get really intense. Usually around the chakras. Are other people reporting this?
There are a lot of symptoms being reported, Susan. Spinning is one of them. Humming sounds are another.
Mm-hmm.
And simply feeling overwhelmed by the energies. I know a couple of weeks ago, for the most part, these energies have not directly impacted Carolyn and I overly much, but there were some energies that came in with a CME a couple of weeks ago, which really affected us. You know, we were both incredibly fractious and, you know, kind of on the, you know, if we were prone to allowing, you know, issues to grow between us, it would have been a perfect opportunity for that. And it was like something was trying to stir up trouble. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And this went on for several days. And other people reported similar responses to it. So there seem to be a bunch of things that people are experiencing as a result of these energies that are coming in, which really are pretty powerful.
One thing I've found, and some other people who've tried it, say that a supplement called Gabitrol can help. Gabitrol contains GABA and some other things that help neurotransmitters and basically are anti-anxiety. So one of the ways this energy can be manifest is like a heightened sense of anxiety. And that could be something you could take without, you know, actually going for the Valium, which is probably not advisable.
Well, we were actually, Carolyn brought forth a meditation to assist with these energies recently in one of the monthly conference calls. And if you're interested, I will send you a copy of that. It's just about a five-minute meditation. I'm very happy to send it through to you. You can share
That'd
it with your
great.
Listeners if you wish.
Sure. Thank you. So we know that there's going to be some more CME activity. What do you hear about that? Do you have
I don't have any information specifically about it, Susan, other than, you know, there is clearly a lot of ongoing sunspot activity. Certainly some of it has been timed to come forth at the same time as, for example, full moons or equinoxes and these sorts of things, so that the whole experience can be pretty intense. But I think we'll continue to see powerful energies coming in from the sun through the end of the year and beyond.
Yeah, there's energies coming from the sun, but there's also energies coming through the sun from the galactic center. So it's, you know, it's sometimes those two get confused because they both appear to be coming from the sun. But actually, I think
not only cosmic center, but also galactic center.
Right, right. So the galactic center energies are really probably the ones pushing the ascension, and the sun energies are, well, we don't know exactly what they're doing, but they have to do with whatever changes are going on in the sun.
And yeah, they're all coordinated, these energies, Susan, as I understand it. You know, this is all pretty thoroughly planned, and so the energies are coming from multiple sources. And our understanding is that there'll be energies that come in at the time of the December solstice, some of which are coming from galactic center, some from cosmic center, and there is a triangle, if you will, of galaxies. You see, the black hole, if you pass through the black hole in the center of the galaxy, you reach a duplicate of our galaxy, which is expressed in, if you like, the mirror image in the dark matter rather than in the positive sign. That's part of the negative sign of energy. It's a duplicate. And so three star systems, if you like, coordinating to pass energy through, but also there is the equivalent of Earth in that, on that side, and though that planet has not had the experience of the journey with the dark that we have had, and so there will be, they've continued to progress in a way that we haven't. In other words, they didn't experience the equivalent of the fall in Atlantis. And so their wisdom, knowledge, and understanding will also be sent through the black hole to us, to come to us at the time of that solstice. And those that are open to receive those energies will receive extraordinary boosts in knowledge and wisdom and understanding. So it's pretty interesting stuff that's lined up here.
So you might want to take a week off around that time, huh? You know, I'm a surgeon, so if I'm operating on somebody, I'm probably not taking full advantage of those energies coming in, because I have to concentrate on what I'm doing.
Not be operating at that time,
Susan. These are very practical questions for me, you know. Will the patients do okay? Will the anesthesiologist do okay? Will I do okay? You know, all three of us have to be up for it. Because I wouldn't want to do surgery without anesthesia. That might be a bit much.
But that wouldn't be.
Yeah. Now, there have been a couple of days, and I'm trying to remember when, but there were a couple of days that we were guided not to do surgery.
Okay.
And, you know, to rest. I saw a few patients, but, you know, nothing critical, and mostly rested. And it was those days that the spinning sensations were the greatest. And were the, you know, the, I don't know, most intense. So that was probably a good piece of advice. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's, you don't want to have to be in surgery when you're trying to incorporate all these energies in and not, you know, not get ill or not, not, you know, get too anxious. But yeah, we're meditating four times a week now. I think that really helps a lot with the, you can really feel after the meditation, things are better integrated. And so I think we've never had that many meditations a week. I mean, usually it was just once a week.
So. Meditation is certainly a good way to process energies in my experience.
Right. Yeah, it is. So you want to tell our listeners a little bit about your website and Carolyn and what you all are bringing in?
Be very happy to. I mean, in the best place to access our work is our primary 2012 website, the 2012countdown.com. We have a whole bunch of websites, but that's the perhaps the best starting point. And there's a lot of information on that website, a lot of material about our understanding of what's coming forth and what will happen. And perhaps the best place to begin that journey, there is one page on that website where I've placed links to a number of the YouTube videos that we have up. And so that's kind of a good way to step through the core material that we've been given is to just watch those videos. And it begins with a vision that Carolyn received in November 2008, where she was standing in the Galactic Center watching things unfold. And I had cause to watch that again about 3 weeks ago, I suppose, and after we'd watched it with a couple of people, we checked whether, in fact, it was still all as it had been expressed, and the advice we got was that indeed it is. So it's interesting. And in summary, what we've been given to understand is all that you and I have discussed here today, that is, there is a transition in consciousness awaiting us, which will, in a sense, begin with the energies coming in with the December equinox, December solstice, which will begin a transformation of all particles, and the shift in vibration will mean that those who have not cleared their negative past life karmic energies by that point will not survive those energies. And then there will be the reactivation of the other DNA strands, which will occur in late December. And then at the March 2013 equinox, the ascension event will proceed. And there's some preparation that needs to be undertaken in some form, and originally we expected that to have started a long time ago, but it ain't. And the two key things that need to occur, as we've been given, is that there needs to be a rejuvenation of the physical body of all those who will be participating. And it's not just a matter of winding off the years, but indeed bringing forth the perfection of the physical form so that it reflects its state as it was before the fall in Atlantis. In other words, this perfection of the physical body, and also the need to clear these negative past life karmic energies that we've been accumulating in this consciousness uniquely, as I understand it. And they need to be cleared because you can't take such energies from one level of consciousness to a higher level. So they all need to be cleared. And I think there will be some mechanism that comes forth that essentially will undertake that for those who will be participating. So other than the and perhaps in addition to the workshops that may or may not run in some form between now and then. So there will be that preparation, and then those that have undertaken that preparation will pass through these changes very simply and easily. The physical body is designed for it, and it will all unfold.
So why do you think so few people really are aware that this is happening?
I think there are a couple of reasons. One, and perhaps the primary one, Susan, in my understanding, is that there is a great respect, if you will, given to cycles. You see, what we're facing here with this moment in time at the December solstice is a whole bunch of cycles coming together that are ending at that moment. Powerful cycles, and I mentioned a couple of them before, the cycle of the dark, the beginning of the in-breath of this cycle of Brahma, and so on. Indeed, this moment, this transition for us on Earth was actually aligned to be in alignment with these before the planet was created. And so cycles are allowed to, if you like, continue as long as possible so that they are fulfilled. And there are steps that need to be completed, if you will, as things unfold. And I think, you know, if our understanding is accurate, what I spoke about in terms of the dismembering of the Western military machine is a key step, because it's not really just about the US. It's a much bigger picture than that, as you understand. And so these things need to play out, and that, in a sense, shock needs to be transmitted so that people begin to look at things a little differently, and from that perspective, a different choice will come forth. Of course, the emergence of people stepping forth in a perfected, rejuvenated physical body might change people's awareness of things, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think it could. I just wonder what will happen to the people like that are, you know, going into the embassies in Libya and Egypt, and I think even as we speak are still protesting, all the anger and all the, you know, all that energy that is so ancient here. I mean, that energy has been with us for a long time.
Yes, it has. And I would say, you know, it would not surprise me one iota if that internet movie that's been put out there was intended to trigger this whole event. It's emerged, for example, that the group that undertook that the attack on the Libyan embassy, it was clearly a highly planned commando exercise.
Right,
And I would not at all be surprised if it were a false flag exercise. It's my view that what's going on here, and this is not something you will see in a public, in any public material that I've seen, is that what's being done here is a revving up of the Islamic response, so that there is this incredible fury between the Muslims and particularly Christianity. But also in a sense towards Judaism, so that there is a lot more acceptance in the West of an attack upon Iran. That's my view. And you see,
well, there was a false flag operation predicted.
We've been pitted against each other, that is humanity, for a long, long time. Right. And these things are entirely contrived. These religious barriers and so on. I mean, you know, start stripping this apart. You look deeply enough, you find false gods in much of this. You know, that these religions are supposedly about, you know, peace and love and light, and yet what comes forth from them is something entirely different. And Christianity is certainly no different.
Right.
And you have to look at what has been done in the name of Christianity, both internally with things like the Inquisition, but also externally with things like the destruction of so many native cultures in South America and so many areas of the world, Africa, Australia. You could go on, all in the name of, you know, saving these people from their ignorance. What arrogance
that
is.
That's true.
So I think, you know, all of this is on a level contrived, and I think it's being revved up quite intentionally. Interestingly, they're having trouble finding who made this movie. Isn't that a surprise? But the actors say they were hoodwinked. They had no idea they were making this kind of movie. A lot of the footage was, a lot of the words were inserted, you know, on the in the
post-processing phase. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think this whole thing is a setup, frankly.
Just as
every war this century and beyond has been triggered by a false flag exercise, if you examine history closely enough, I see this as being mm-hmm. no different. I think the whole thing is being revved up intentionally. That's my view.
Yeah, the very, very interesting information about the Gulf of Tonkin incident. I don't know whether you're aware, but the head of that U-boat was actually a CIA agent, and he was the father of Jim Morrison. Isn't that interesting?
The singer?
Yeah, The Doors.
That is fascinating.
It is. It's very fascinating. But for the listeners who aren't familiar with false flag operations, most of the things that have led us into war have been contrived, you know, initial conflicts that we probably started rather than the other side. You can look up the Gulf of Tonkin incident, and it's pretty well understood now that it wasn't what it was, what it appeared to be when it was televised at that time.
Yes,
it was much different. And the head of that U-boat was a CIA agent, so who happened to be the father of Jim Morrison. So I guess Jim was.
That is fascinating.
Yeah, Jim was probably. I don't know if Jim was older than. He was probably a teenager then. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, false flag operations have been used for a long time.
Indeed they have.
So I hadn't heard that before, but that's very interesting. And certainly the movie is, the whole thing is so crazy with the movie. I mean, it's
well, it's through a match in a tinderbox, you know, surprise,
right.
Surprise. It had the response it did, you know, and I think I look at it and I say, this thing's contrived.
Right, right. Well, that would be a very logical conclusion, given. Well, we'll have to see how it plays out, too.
Indeed, we will.
I think
it'll play out quite quickly. We've been given dates for, assuming this unfolds, Susan. Again, it's all speculative, but certainly we've been given dates for Israel to attack Iran somewhere between the 21st of September and the 15th of October.
It's coming right up.
It sure is.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see if we follow along like we did before.
Indeed. Well, I think I mean, when you've got these massive forces that are in the Straits of Hormuz, it's no accident. And similarly, if you look, you see, if you track all the pointers here, you look at the massive growth in weapons sales out of the U.S. in the last couple of years. 2011, the weapons sales from the U.S., and primarily they were going to the Middle East, went up by something like 400%, massive growth in weapons sales. Secondly, if you look at all of the bases and missile capabilities that have been set up around Iran, all of those countries that in one way or another are in the U.S. fold, there is an extraordinary array of firepower that has been set up around the U.S., around Iran. And then you add to that this exercise involving 25 nations, a massive fleet right off the coast of Iran. And then you add the rhetoric and noise coming out of Netanyahu in Israel. All the pieces fit together, you know, and then add this little exercise with this movie. Give me a break. Talk about the whole thing being a setup, but most people don't look at the evidence. It's all there. You can see it all right now.
It makes you wonder what would happen if we could just step back and let these energies come in and create the changes that they're going to create in the next 6 months or so. And, you know, a lot of the problems will be solved with nothing being done.
You see, I don't see it like that, Susan. What we have what we have here with the cabal are the same souls that led to the fall in Atlantis, the same souls that were the dark priests in Atlantis who were abusing things back then. It's the same individuals mm-hmm. given another chance, and they're playing out the same roles. And so they need to have their wings clipped, courtesy of their own practices, and that's what we're looking mm-hmm. at here. That's why this is important, that it unfold the way it's unfolding. They need to fall on their own hubris.
Sword, yeah, right, yeah. Well, it may. But I'm not so sure they'll survive the next 6-9 months.
Who's that?
The cabal. I'm not sure that they would.
I'm sure they won't.
With the incoming energies, though.
Exactly. But you see, and they won't survive the energies coming in with the solstice. But you see, there mm-hmm. is a need for... You see, there are so many elements to these cycles. There are so many things, there are patterns that get fulfilled on a macro and a micro level, it's on mm-hmm. so much detail. And so these things, in a sense, involve a completion. And so that's why I say this needs to unfold in the way that it looks like it's going to.
I see, yeah. Well, I certainly will be interested to see if this comes down that way.
You and I both.
Yeah, really. Well, would you like to give your contact information again? And I guess, you know, we need to also set up another interview in a few months to see what's transpired. There's an awful lot on the horizon.
Indeed, there is. Yes, the best website for finding our material is www.the2012countdown.com. And there's lots of stuff there, and it leads you off in other places. And I suggest you go to the top or bottom of any page on that website, enter your name and email address, and you'll receive our ongoing updates and information as things unfold.
Well, great. Well, we'll be in touch to set up another interview. I really appreciate you joining us today and bringing in all this great information. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Likewise, Susan. Thank you for the opportunity and your very fascinating and interesting questions. And I look forward to seeing how things unfold.
I do, too. Thanks, Richard.
Pleasure.
This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Next week, we will be interviewing Philip Coppens on The Ancient Alien Question, a new inquiry into the existence, evidence, and influence of ancient visitors, and who knows, they may be future visitors as well. And then Gail Hamilton on the 6th of October, the DIRT Committee, that's D-I-R-T. She is one of my colleagues investigating the silicone catastrophe. And then on the 13th of October, we will have Trish McKinnon back. She is going to be talking about the 2012 galactic changes. And then we've got other very interesting interviews for the rest of October, which we'll get to then. Anyway, this is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week.